Our scripture reading this morning comes from Philippians 4, 11 through 13. It says, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secrets of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." May God bless the reading of his word.
Morning, everybody. It is a real joy and honor for me to get to be here again to preach God's word to you. Thank you so much for coming this morning. And it's just a joy to be here. My wife, Christy, is with me, so she's here. And so thank you again for coming. So we are going to be talking about finding our contentment in Christ. And a number of years ago, a long time ago, when Christy and I were pretty early in our marriage, there was a television show in Pittsburgh here. Maybe some of you older people might remember it, called Light Music. Anybody remember that? With a guy named Tom Green. And that was on Channel 40. And at the time, this was a long time ago, they were having a contest where they were going to give away a free cruise to whoever would enter, the couple or individual who would enter. And so you'd send in a card with your name and phone number on it, and they were going to draw a winner. And so Christy said, "I'm going to enter this contest." I said, "Christy, what? That's ridiculous. We'll never, there's going to be thousands of people in. No, they're not going to pick you. Why are you bothering with that?" And so she said, "Well, I want to." So she entered it, and we were watching the show, and they drew somebody's name, and it wasn't Christy's card, whoever won the cruise. But then a couple days later, Christy got a call because the person who had won, for some reason, was not able to go on the cruise, so she won. And we got to go on this incredible cruise for free, you know, a week long or so. And all these Christian bands were on the cruise. And incredible food all week long, free food, obviously. And, you know, just having this great time on this Caribbean cruise. And on the last night of the cruise, I'm sitting on the deck with Christy and lots of people on the deck, beautiful evening, and I'm eating these gigantic shrimp. And I said, "You know what, Christy? I think these shrimp would be a little better if they were a little smaller." And she said, "Wait a minute. You're complaining because the shrimp are too big?" And I thought, "Oh, wow." Yeah, what has happened to me this week? You know, I've been eating all this great food, and so I've had so many blessings. Now I'm discontented with the shrimp because they're too big. So we're talking about finding our contentment in Christ, and that was what that scripture that was read is about. And the big idea of this scripture and message is whether we have little or much in this life, we will all be tempted to be discontented at one time or another. And our only hope of true and lasting contentment is Jesus Christ. So we must learn to recognize the roots and temptations and lies of discontentment, and then look to Jesus to satisfy us. And he is the only one who can satisfy us. And so first we're going to look at the roots of discontentment that are still in our fallen nature that we still have to struggle with at times, Even though we have a new nature in Christ that is our primary nature now, we still have to struggle temptations. And so the roots of discontentment are still there in us, and they will always have to be fought as long as we live. One day, I was walking through a grocery store in our town called Martin's. I was shopping, pushing my cart through the store, and I noticed for some reason that everyone in the store seemed to look unhappy. They're just pushing her cart. And so I'm pushing my cart and I'm seeing everybody's face. They're all unhappy. And then I walk past one aisle and I look down the aisle. It's a whole aisle devoted to nothing but pet food, pet supplies. And I think to myself, we are in a country that is so blessed that we have stores with whole aisles devoted to pet food and pet supplies. How can we not be happy? So now when I go through Martin's, I try to smile while I'm pushing my... 1 John 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world." John says that being born into this world, we're all going to be tempted by the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life. And the roots of discontentment, as I started to say, come from the desires of our sin nature that remains in the flesh. Now, when we're saved, when Jesus saves us, when we turn to Jesus, call upon Him, believe in Him, turn away from our sins and turn to Jesus and ask Him to save us and be our Lord and God, He breaks our sin nature. We are no longer dominated by our sin nature. Before we turn to Jesus, we are completely controlled by our sinful nature. Now, when Jesus comes into us, He gives us a new heart. And our sin nature is no longer our primary nature. It's no longer we're no longer slaves of sin, the Bible says. We are not slaves of sin, but it is still there to tempt us and influence us. And so James 1, 13 through 15 says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil, and He Himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desire." And he's writing to Christians. "Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." So we have to fight and battle and recognize that we have these desires which we must ask Jesus to help us overcome, and He will. So each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desire. So our flesh will tell us this lie: if I just had this, I'd be happy. Satan probably is telling us that too. If I just had this, then I'd be happy. If I just had this, a better job, then I'd be happy. If I just had a nicer house, then I'd be happy. If I just had a wife, if I just had a husband, if I just had a girlfriend, if I just, you know, we tell ourselves, if I just had this, then I'd be happy. Well, where did all this start? It started in the Garden of Eden. Satan is still tempting us the same way he did in the very beginning. It says in Genesis 3:6, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate." So we can be tempted to look and see what other people have, or what this world has to offer. Maybe you live in a really nice neighborhood and there's beautiful homes there, and you say, oh man, I wish I had a home like that. When I see these beautiful homes that are sort of near where we live, we just live in an average kind of little house, but it's a nice house, but it's not, we don't live in a fancy mansion, but there are some not too far from us. And sometimes when I'm taking a walk, I look at that, and at first I'm tempted. I think, wow, boy, is that a nice house. But then I think, I would hate having to take care of that house. I'm just not good at that. So that's one way I fight that temptation. But the Bible says, do not be envious of the wicked. You know, do not look to what other people have. So the world tempts us, though, when we see things that we don't have. And so in Proverbs 27:20, it says, Sheol and Abaddon are never satisfied, and never satisfied are the eyes of man. Never satisfied are the eyes of man. We keep wanting more. You can have an incredible car, and then you look next door and see your neighbor has an even more incredible car. And it could be a temptation. So we must constantly pray and ask Jesus to deliver us from all those kinds of desires. So Ecclesiastes 1:8 says, the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. So the big lie of the enemy and our flesh is that the world will satisfy us. Now Solomon, King Solomon, in his day, he was the richest man on earth, and he could have anything he wanted. So he went after everything in this world to see if it would satisfy him. And I'm going to read a few verses from Ecclesiastes 2. I'm not going to read every single verse here, but it's verse 1. He says, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. Verse 4, I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks. I had also great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. And whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure. Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind. And there was nothing to be gained under the sun. Solomon had anything and everything that he desired. And at the end, he realized it was all futile. There was nothing to be gained under the sun. In this life, in this world, it was all empty. Now, God is so good to us. He blesses us in so many ways. He pours out His blessings upon us, and we enjoy so many pleasures in this life. But we've just got to be careful that we are not living for this life. Because someday it's going to be all gone. And the only thing we will have is what's in heaven, which will be infinitely, infinitely. Jesus Himself is all we need. We don't need anything. So we have to learn to be content in any situation. And so that's why Paul said, I have learned in whatever situation I am in to be content. So Paul had to learn how to be brought low, he said. God put Paul into prison at times, in chains. He was beaten. He was adrift at sea. He was hungry at times. God took him through all these things so that Paul could learn to rely on Jesus. And learning is not always fun. Learning takes time. Learning at times means going through hard things. And everything that God takes us through, He's doing something wonderful in us. God causes all things to work together for our good. And that good is, He is transforming us day by day more and more into the image of Jesus. Paul also had to learn how to abound. He had to learn how to be content and not look for abundance and live for abundance. So we can be just as tempted to discontentment when we're prospering as when we're struggling. And Paul had to learn that. We have to learn, and learning takes time. We have to learn to look beyond this life to eternity. That's a really important thing. We have to learn to look beyond this world to eternity. What we focus on will affect whether we're contented or discontented. And in Psalm 73, Asaph struggled with discontentment while he focused on the people of this world. And so he says in verse 2, "But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant. When I saw," what he was focusing on, "when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for they have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind. Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease. They increase in riches." And we know that that's not completely true. We know that people, even very rich, wicked people, suffer. But it looked to him like they didn't. He says, "All in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence." So he was focusing on the world. But then he says, "But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task." But then he says in verse 16, "But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed a wearisome task until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I discerned their end." So he is now changing his focus. He's looking at the spiritual side of things. He goes into the sanctuary of God. He begins to focus on God. And he says, "Truly, you set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment. Swept away utterly by terrors." So he said, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I discerned their end." So he focused. He said, "I need to focus on God, on the Lord. This life will be over in a moment. And all their possessions and riches, what will become of them then?" Now Asaph begins to focus on God. "Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward you will receive me to glory." And this is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works." He says, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you." That'd be a great verse to memorize. That's a great verse to remember when we're tempted to be unhappy and discontented with whatever's happening in our lives or whatever we don't have. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. If we could only keep that in our minds at all times, we would be very content. That's contentment. David in Psalm 16 says this, "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance." See, if we have Jesus Christ, He is our portion and our cup. Jesus Christ is our beautiful inheritance. And if we have Jesus, we can focus on Him, and if we keep our focus on Jesus, then we can be content in all circumstances. I have a friend from England, and he has this great story. It's one of my favorite stories. He talks about how he had just recently called upon the Lord Jesus to save him. And he was driving his car one day, and he happened to notice this very attractive, beautiful woman walking by, and it would later turn out that it would be his wife. He would wind up eventually marrying her. But he's driving his car, and he sees this woman for a second, and when he's distracted, he hits a car parked on the side of the street. And he gets out of his car, and he's looking at his car, and his car's all dented in. And then he says, "So what? I'm saved." So what? I'm saved. So what if everything is broken in our lives? So what if we don't have something? I'm saved. I love that story. Oh. Spurgeon, the famous preacher, said, "I have heard of some good old woman in a cottage who had nothing but a piece of bread and a little water. Lifting up her hands, she said as a blessing, 'What, all this and Christ too?' All she had was a little piece of bread and a little water. And she says, 'What, all this and Christ too?'" Oh, all of us in here who know Jesus, we can say the same thing. And if you haven't turned to Jesus yet, I encourage you to do that. Turn to Him. Call upon Him. Say, "Jesus, I need You to help me and change me, save me." Then you can say, "So what? I'm saved." Something bad happens. Well, a couple of ways that we can grow in focusing on Christ and learning contentment. First of all, I would encourage you to regularly take in God's Word. Read the Bible, take it in, listen to it, whatever, but take in God's Word. Try to do that. If you can, try to do it every day. Try to do it on a regular basis. That would be one of the best habits you could cultivate. And that will help you grow in contentment the more you know Jesus and the more you learn about the riches we have in Him. Ask Jesus. Pray. Here's another way. First of all, take in God's Word. Pray. Ask Jesus to help you to be content. Ask Jesus when you're tempted, "Lord, please deliver me from lust. Please deliver me from these cravings for these things." Whatever the temptation, pray, because He wants you to pray. The Bible has many verses where God invites us to cast our cares on Him and pray for help, and He will help you. I would also encourage you to practice being thankful to God. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When I first became a Christian, I had been living, I was, after college, I was an art major in college, and after college, I moved to Philadelphia for a while and tried to make it in the art world. I was living in a cockroach-infested basement of a big apartment building. I was working in a cheesy art gallery, and I didn't have any success making it in the art world. For most of the time I was living there, I wasn't a believer at the time, so I wasn't even very disciplined. I was doing lots of stuff I shouldn't have been doing, and I had to move home back to my parents' house in Indiana, Pennsylvania, where I still live in Indiana, but I moved back there, broke, failure. I had gone somewhere and heard the gospel preached, and a guy had asked me if I would want to say a prayer to ask Jesus into my heart, and I did. But I was a very new Christian. I didn't know anything about the Lord. I was depressed. I was miserable. I was 23 at the time, stuck living at home with my parents. I didn't want to be living with my parents. And my mom and dad had been going to a Bible study. And my mom tells me one day when I'm kind of grumbling or whatever, she says, you know what? I went to this Bible study and the guy said we should thank God for everything. You know, one of those scriptures I just read to you. Give thanks in all circumstances. And then the next verse, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father. My mom said, you need to give thanks. Start giving thanks for your situation that you're in. I said, oh, right. So if I have a flat tire, I'm supposed to say, thank you, God, for this flat tire. And she says, well, yeah, you never know. Up the road, there might have been a horrible accident, and God spared you from being in an accident by giving you a flat tire. Well, okay. So I was putting in a patio for my mom and dad, since I didn't have a job at the time. It was hot. It was summertime. And so I'm carrying these heavy rocks. And so I said, okay, I'm going to try to do what my mom said. So, Lord, thank you for these heavy rocks. Thank you for how hot it is. Thank you that I don't have a job. Thank you. And I started to do that. And you know what happened? It's the more I tried to do it, God began to change me. Something began to happen in me. I began to get the first little tiny bit of contentment in my life. And I began, by God's grace, I began to practice that for the rest of my life, trying to thank God as much as I can. And then I heard a man preach a sermon once, and he said, every time he wakes up in the morning, the first thing he says is, Lord, thank you for the gift of sleep. Lord, thank you for letting me wake up this morning. Thank you for protecting me through the night. So after I heard that message, I started to do that. And then I don't know what got me to do this, but somebody suggested it, is to keep right every day after when I get up in the morning and have a little time with the Lord. First, I'll spend a little time in the scripture with the Bible. And then after I have spent a little time in reading the Bible, I take a few minutes and just write like one little page of a journal of things I'm thankful for. And it's not anything brilliant. Sometimes I just write, Lord, thank you for coffee. Thank you for the sunshine shining in the backyard. Thank you for helping me yesterday to work on the patio, whatever. But for years, God has helped me to do that, to write in this journal most days, not every single day, but most days. And that has helped me so much in my life to cultivate contentment and thankfulness. So, you know, another way you can thank God is to thank God for His promises in His Word. And this is something else I do. I don't do it every single day, but I have a little box of 3x5 note cards with Bible verses on them. And they're things that I could be thankful for. And so one of those Bible verses is, Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. You know, so, you know, just reading those 3x5 cards every once in a while helps me to be thankful. So I just want to encourage you, make it your goal to be, with God's help — we can only do this with God's help — make it your goal to be the most thankful person you can possibly be. That's a really worthwhile goal, and I would encourage that. And as you do that, you will grow in contentment.